man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face?
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Our segment with Mark Grody is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. This segment with Mark Grody is also brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. It's not a game, Illinois.com. Groats, a lot of injuries for the Bears as they walk into this game with the New England Patriots.
Yeah, starting with the offensive line and big problems there. I was, I guess, just sort of hope trafficking when I said earlier this week that I would expect one of those two tackles to play this week. Neither of the Bears' tackles are going to be playing this week against the New England Patriots. Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright both out with knee injuries. Jaquan Brisker remains out with the concussion. Karan Amagaji, calf injury, he's out. So you could say your three most important tackles are out for this game. Practicing in full today were Ryan Bates, Kyler Gordon, Montez Sweat, and Smitty. Terrell Smith practice in full. So those guys will all be back. We'll see Kyler Gordon out there. We'll see Montez Sweat out there. But the big question now is who is going to play the tackle positions? And Matt Eberflus began his press conference today essentially, you know, saying here's the news that those two won't play. He said that he will not reveal who the two tackles will be. I did ask Matt Eberflus, hey, at least who are the candidates that may be out there? He did mention Larry, who is Larry Borm. I would expect that he would play left tackle. Then as far as the right tackle is concerned, the only name he mentioned after my question was Jake Curhan, who we saw play some last week. He did not say that that's who it's going to be. You know, could Matt Pryor is a possibility there as well. But I will say this, a couple of things. Had a great little huddle up today with our guys from CHGO, Nick Moriano and Mark Carmen, and we're trying to figure this out because we're all taking shots at what it is. And Moriano had the good numbers out that in preseason this year, Jake Curhan had 150 snaps at right tackle, while Matt Pryor had just 8 snaps at the position. In their lives, both have had around the same snaps, around 650 snaps at the position. So here's my best guess, guys, for what's going to happen on the offensive line this week. I do think it'll be Larry Borum at left tackle. Tevin Jenkins is healthy. He practiced in full today, by the way, as well. He'll be your left guard. I would be shocked if they did anything with Coleman Shelton. Will be your center. That brings us to right guard. I think there very well could be a rotation at the right guard spot with, drumroll please, Nate Davis and Ryan Bates. Can't rule out Doug Kramer as a possibility there as well. And then I do think, based on the numbers that I was just giving, I think Jake Curhan will be your starter at right tackle.
Wow, so Matt Pryor to the bench, to a flat-out bench, in part because Ryan Bates is ready to go and they bring Nate Davis back. This is fascinating. I'm going to go ahead and say that Pryor is not the tackle. I think you're right. I think those numbers are good. The fact that Eberflus brought him up and the fact that the way they feel, I think Curhan is going to be your right tackle. But I'd be surprised to see Pryor just flat out benched. But that's fascinating. Lawrence, you got a bet on how this is going to play out? Is Grody on it?
I think Grody's on it. I just wanted to follow up and say, how scary is it for them that they have to do this level of scrambling before game?
I mean, it's frightening, and I guess without being too hyperbolous, thank God it's New England. Thank God you're at home where you've had so much success this year. So if there ever was a situation like to happen, can you imagine if this was going down in some of their more real games? What if this was last week? I mean, it would have been a really bad result and not just 29-9 against Arizona last week. So I guess that's the best way to put it. Let me play a little bit of Matt Eberflus for you guys, the Bears head coach, on the effect of your starting tackles both being out.
Does it change the play calling majorly on offense? I know you're not giving anything away, but do you think you guys will operate similar to how you've gone so far?
No, we've made adjustments. We've made adjustments, and again, when you have a couple weeks where you don't play as well as you want to, of course you're always looking to adjust and you evaluate where you need to get better. And we've made some adjustments, and we're looking forward to seeing those in the game.
I'm saying specifically to the tackle situation. Can you still, no matter who's playing there?
Yeah. I think you lean on what guys do well, and that's at every position. So, you know, if a guy does things well, let's do that. You know, if a guy is a different type of player and doesn't do the other things well, let's stick to the stuff they do well. So, and that's for any position. That's for corner, any skill set on offense, you know, anybody. So you got to really adjust as you go to curtail it to the skill.
There's plenty of Matt Eberflus's patented brand of nothing in there, but
and
there's
globalization.
Oh God, yeah. But a couple things. First of all, he says "Evie" like David Schuster says "Evie."
I thought the same thing.
I don't think I ever caught that before, Groats.
I see it, you know? Every time. Every time is the same thing.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly. So there's that. But I wonder what the adjustments are. Does that mean more running inside as opposed to asking the tackles to do a lot outside? Because they want their tackles to be nimble and to be able to get on the move. It's what they love about Amagaji. It's what they love about Braxton Jones. And I'm sure they don't love it as much about Larry Borum for that. So I wonder what the adjustments are, Groats.
I think it's running the ball in general. I think that that's what Matt Eberflus said. And you go back to the Monday press conference when I asked Matt Eberflus about how do you make, like, what's going on with Caleb Williams. And he brought up need to run the ball more. I mean, it was very subtle. It was actually pretty sneaky Flus on that one. But need to run the ball more. So something tells me that Matt Eberflus probably got into some of those offensive meetings with Shane Waldron or had one-on-one with him and said, hey, we need to run the ball. Now, that's become a lot more easy to say. Now, with your two starting tackles out, you must simplify things. I mean, it's just a fact, whether you want it or not, simplify things, shorter pass, not just DeAndre Swift as a running back, but as a pass catcher. Cole Kmet, obviously, is a pass catcher. Gerald Everett even should get into the pass-catching game. Shorter routes for the wide receivers, for better or for worse, because you can't count on the time. Caleb Williams probably, I mean, in theory, is not going to have as much time to get those guys open down the field. So it brings everything in just a little bit closer. One other, you know, sort of other side of this thing, too, is for Caleb Williams. And I know, look, Caleb Williams has struggled, and he is just a rookie and all of that. But sometimes I think in my head that for a game like this, where it might be a bit of a free-for-all on the offensive line, this is a chance for Caleb Williams to do what he does best or did best in college, and that is to improvise and to make plays happen. I know that doesn't feel like such a safe thing considering he is still developing, but he may be if any quarterback would be suited to play in that style, it's Caleb Williams.
Well, I hate it as a strategy, Groats. I'm not going to lie to you. What I would prefer that the Bears do is line up, have Everett out there, have Mercedes out there, have Doug Kramer out there. As far as I'm concerned, I want to see them just say, screw it.
Unbalanced line, load it up and run.
13 personnel, let's go. Uh-huh. And because this team can't stop the run. Don't give them any hope because – like just stay committed to it, and I'm terrified that the Bears are going to be too smart by half.
Well, that's clearly what Waldron has often shown us. Mercedes, I'm worried about Mercedes, man. All the false starts, the slowness that's out there, and his defeated tone in the one-on-one with Chris Emma that we played yesterday.
Sad,
I'm worried about
Mercedes.
Wasn't it? That was sad, man.
Was hey,
sad.
Look, never, ever worry about Mercedes Lewis. This is a 40-year-old man who's in an NFL locker room making pretty good money for a 40-year-old in an NFL locker room
at this
point.
He's a man. He's 40.
He's got outside business ventures. This is a smart guy who knows he doesn't have to be playing football at this point, but he wants to be in there. So it's one of the, like, don't feel bad for Mercedes Lewis. He's going to be just fine, Speaks.
I'm worried about him. I don't feel bad for him. I think he knows he doesn't need to do this.
Right.
To your
don't
point.
Where, yeah.
Does, yeah, but those game checks be hitting right.
They be hitting right. That is exactly right, Lawrence. Why don't we look at the bit? We're talking about the fact that the Bears defense, they have had trouble defending the rush this year. It's been a thing for the Bears. You know, the 241 yards last week, or, sorry, 213 yards against them against Arizona. We've seen big explosive runs against the Bears defense this year, and I thought Matt Eberflus was pretty harsh as far as Flus goes when it gets to talking about that.
If you have any level of concern about that, that even, you know, not getting too comfortable with just because they've been good so far, that it might be something to shore up there.
Yeah, and I said that all the way back in training camp, right? It's a prove it league. You got to prove it. You know, all this talk about being top five and all those things that's great talk, but it's what you do on the grass, and it's how you perform every single week. And we've had some plays, some, you know, chunk plays that put the yards up. So we just got to be more consistent. We've got to be more consistent, and the guys have worked their tail off in terms of that, in terms of the run game this week, and they're excited about this performance coming up.
Yeah, man, like, it's no problem to say when your team's been bad. They will respect it when you say that they've been bad when they actually have been bad. And Eberflus has long been too cautious about calling it out like he sees it. You know, there's so many coaches we could play, whether it's Mike Tomlin, whether, you know,
Dan Campbell,
Dan Quinn. I mean, hell, just like a million coaches across sports. It's okay to say it. The team respects you when you say the truth, Groats.
Yeah, and he's got some ownership in that group. I mean, he is the play caller and, you know, probably to a large degree the defensive coordinator, with all due respect to Eric Washington and what he has done with his team. And I remember it. Look, I want the Bears to be a top five defense. I have, you know, brought up statistics a few weeks ago about them popping up in the top five in certain categories. But I remember during training camp, every time we brought that up to Matt Eberflus, he kind of rolled his eyes. Like, we haven't proved anything. We have, you know, enough with the top five talk. And unprompted, Matt Eberflus brought it up right there. So he knows it's got to be better. And I've said this a couple times. I can't imagine what that film session was like. I mean, giving up big rush yards insults the sensibilities of any good play caller or defensive coordinator, and that's probably what happened this week here at the Hall.
Groats, I didn't expect Tyrique Stevenson to play as much as he did last week, and it seems like the Bears didn't either, but they had to because of injuries. Is he a starter again?
Well, I'll tell you what, Lawrence, I saw him in the locker room today. I wasn't sure how much Tyrique Stevenson would be talking to the media this week, just based on essentially getting burned by the media, social media, but he burned himself. But I talked to him by his locker today for about a minute 30, and he will answer that exact question you just asked me, Lawrence, about whether or not he is starting. Take a listen to this, guys.
Relative to last week, how do you feel going into this week? Does everything feel normal again for you after all the chaos?
Everything felt normal, even last week. I would say just the noise and everything like that, but that's never bothered me. You know, I never listened to the opinions on ESPN or anything like that. I hardly watch it. But, no, my game is my game. I made one mistake. You know, is it end of the world? I don't think so. You know, it's a football game. All the guys in this building respect me for my play and how I carry myself. So last week, when a bunch of noise, I looked at a game plan, understand I wasn't starting, and still want to go out there and be the best teammate. And this week is no different. I want to go out there and put myself in the best position to help this team win.
Most people can't avoid all that stuff because it's everywhere. How do you have that mentality? Where did that come from?
I actually was looking at it. Like, I was reading the comments and everything. Yeah, like, that it doesn't bother me because most of the time, these people don't know me, and they don't know my character. And if they're going to use one mistake to judge me and attack me emotionally, I can't blame them. You know, that's their job. But at the end of the day, I seen most of it. I wasn't not running away from it, but I could just use this as a learning curve. And if people feel like this is the end of me, then that's for them. But I know that's not the end of me, and the guys on this team know I got a whole lot more season left.
Did you respond to any of the stuff?
No, there's no reason to. Because at the end of the day, in the public eye, in that situation, I'm wrong. So there's no point in me trying to defend myself. All I could do was apologize to this team and for letting them down, and just promise that I'm always be on top of my details 100 times more than what I am now, and that'll never happen again.
Last thing, back in there, you're starting opposite of Jalen Johnson, yes?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I like where he ended up on all of this, and it speaks. Remember what I was telling you a couple weeks ago about how I had talked with a team executive, a high-ranking team executive that's so worried that players immediately after a game are going to social,
yep,
and that they're trying to fight the war of them focusing on the corrections that the coaches want them to make versus what the public may want them to make. Tyreek is what he just said there is an example of exactly what that executive is terrified of,
and
they are living their life online and what it might do to them from an emotional standpoint.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because he started by saying he doesn't pay it any attention, and then your follow-up, Groats, got him to say that he watched all of it.
He's like, oh, I watched it all. I was out here looking at everything.
And then at the end, yeah, he got to a place of like, in the end,
I have no defense.
I was wrong. All I can do is apologize to my team. So that did sound like true ownership of the mistake. It's got to be hard, man. It's hard on our level, Groats.
Yes,
it's hard on our level as mildly public people to decide whether to read or not, to decide whether to engage or not. It's got to be so incredibly hard for these young men.
It's why when. If I was asked for an opinion on should Tyreek Stevenson be, you know, punished for this, I said he's taken enough punishment. Like, just being embarrassed by the whole thing, and then the crushing he was taking on social media. Like, I was like, people underestimate how real that is, you know, having to apologize to his teammates. That apologizing on Twitter, in this world, for me, that was enough of a punishment. But, hey, if the players, and there probably were players in that locker room who thought that he should be punished, and he was, so I totally respect that he didn't start the game last week. But the whole conversation we're having right now is exactly why I thought he was punished enough.
Well, either way, and I was, you know, I disagreed with you on that, but anyway, here we are. It's a pivotal moment for the young man, because what he can't do is not play with the energy and the swagger that has made him great. You know, you have to reclaim that. And I said it earlier in the week, I saw a much more subdued version of him against Arizona, energy-wise, and I hope that he is back to his energetic, fully confident self.
Well, I think eventually you're going to be who you are until I think we get a little bit older. Then I think like real changes can happen. I just hope that the extreme part of Tyreek Stevenson doesn't return that error, because he's done some things that have not been good on this team, that have been outside of the box, some bad penalties that he has taken this year, but that one was like 10 times worse than anything else. So I'm not going to sit here and say I expect Tyreek Stevenson to be perfect. That's the guy you drafted. That was the opportunity cost of him in the second round and being a starting cornerback in the NFL right from the beginning. So I think it's a little bit naive to think that Tyreek Stevenson is just going to be perfect and we're not going to see some sort of thing like, you know, not like that, but just something Tyreek Stevenson-ish happen again. I think you should expect it, and it's just that's who he is for right now. And you're right. I mean, like, I don't want that taken out of him either, because it does often lead to the player that he is. So I think that it's kind of complicated, actually.
Okay, so let's go back to the offensive line. There could be a lot of guys in a lot of different places, or new guys or old guys that are back in different spots. When you were talking to people up there about the offensive line, what did you learn?
Well, one of the guys that we got to talk to today was Ryan Bates, who was just activated from the injured list. And, man, this, you talk about the emotional side of being an athlete, and you guys both know this. Certain athletes don't handle being away from the team well. They don't handle well not playing, and I think that was the case with Ryan Bates. Some real talk from Ryan Bates. I'll just enter this cut by saying he hated being in rehab and not playing because of his shoulder.
It's been a lot of repetition in terms of, like, every day feels like Groundhog Day because it's the same, a lot of the same stuff I'm doing over and over again in terms of strengthening my shoulder, strengthening my elbow, kind of getting that strength back. I feel great right now. PT and our trainers are doing a great job with me. I'm back.
How frustrating has it been for you having to go through all this?
It's been frustrating for me. You know, this is kind of the first time where I've been in this situation where I've been on IR. It's my first time on IR. First time having an injury that kind of takes me out of multiple games. So it was a learning experience for me in terms of kind of channeling my mentals and kind of getting in the right mindset. Because early I was in a bad headspace. I just wanted to be out there. I wanted to be playing with the boys. You know how it is.
You would condition to play every snap if need be, play an entire game?
I wouldn't be playing if I wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
That said, how itchy are you to get out there and just play, considering all that you've been through?
I've been itching since I got on IR, I've been itching. Yeah, I'm ready to get back out there, you know, with the boys and playing some ball.
For a few weeks, it seemed like the shoulder was something you'd be able to work through.
Mm-hmm.
When did you kind of find out this is something I got to just shut down? What was it like to kind of get that word?
When I initially got on IR, saying?
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, I was fortunate where Poles gave me an opportunity to get 100% healthy instead of coming back, hurting it again, making it worse, taking a week off, coming back again, hurting it again. So it was, he helped me out in terms of putting me on IR and me giving me an opportunity to strengthening those muscles in my shoulder that I need and strengthening my elbow and doing what I need to do in order to be back on the field at 100%.
That's good real stuff from Ryan Bates.
I'm glad that you shared that.
Thanks, Groats. I mean, a little window into what life is like as a person as you're dealing with that. They love him, man. They have been trying to get him, you know, for what, 2.5 years now? And it's interesting that he says he's in shape to play every snap. Whatever.
He's not.
But whatever iterations we've been talking about and the predictions we made at the beginning, as soon as that dude is healthy enough to play, he's going to play.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward.
It's my guess because of Poles and the way they feel about him.
You're right. And, Ryan Poles, we know, tried to get him twice and finally did get him on this roster. I do like the way Poles has handled this, too, because that's real stuff, man. Like, you can give a guy a pain shot. You can get a guy out there game to game, miss a game here, miss a game there. They did what they had to do to get this guy right. And, yes, he's been wanting to get out there. And, Lawrence, you are right, too. It's totally and completely unrealistic to think that he's going to take a full boat of snaps at this point, having not played as long as he has. But, again, I am hoping, guessing, that he does get some snaps out there. But we shall see very soon. May I just say, too, guys, I want to say this during this whole Bears report. You guys just look so comfortable, man. You guys got a couch out there in Vegas. Look at that. That is, I see Shane hanging out. What a beautiful setup for you guys out there in Las Vegas. I'm a little bit jelly.
Well, we finally figured out how to block the sun. So that was
helpful.
Oh,
were we having some issues?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because we're in direct. We're facing south, so we're in direct sunlight.
Has Shane been spraying you guys down? Does he have a little water bottle out there just spritzing you guys gently?
No. He told us it was water, but I'm not exactly sure.
No, Shane's just been like, hey, I got you guys. Let's get some drinks going. He's been doing the job of trying to take care of us out here, making sure we have electrolytes and all that other stuff.
Oh, yeah. So sounds like fun. I love hearing the music in the background. It's great. It's great.
Yeah. You should be out here, Groats. You should be hanging. There's a spot right here in the middle. You can put my laptop on your lap where it belongs.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Hey. I mean, it would have been really difficult to get into the Bears locker room today, you know. But, I mean, I like being where I am right now, but you guys do look like you're enjoying yourself. The Bears guys have – it bears repeating – they have won 8 in a row at Soldier Field. I mean, God, I hope they use Soldier Field to the best of their abilities. 9 straight at home, in home games, if you count London. And finally, too, I'm always scouring rosters for guys that are, you know, close to home. New England offensive lineman Vidarian Lowe grew up in Rockford. 5.5 Bears. 5.5 Bears just for that.
That's impressive for a guy on the opposition to get that many Bears.
I mean,
we haven't talked about it a lot, Groats, but did anyone up there talk about the fact that it's been a month since the Bears have played at Soldier Field?
I don't remember if that came up this week.
Because that's
a long
time to be away from your actual home field.
It is a long time to be away. I'm positive it's a bit of a relief for these guys, even though, I mean, there's a lot of guys in the NFL who do enjoy, you know, road trips are not exactly arduous in the NFL because they're so quick, and there is something to getting away from everybody. But I think that the way they play at home, these guys will be looking very forward to being back on the Soldier Field turf.
Any nuggets we missed, Groats, before we let you go?
No, those two I gave you right there, that was it, man.
Okay, man.
I think we covered it all during the Bears report.
Said it all.
I said it all.
You're the man.
You've said it all.
Bears.
Bye,
thanks,
guys.
Mark.
Bears. Yep.
Bars.
See ya.
When we come back.
Yeah. You're going to step into the role of trying to scare me again, aren't you?
No, I. This is just something that we can continue to monitor and talk about as a show. I got some Caleb numbers for you that I want to just see how you react to them.
Are you going
to
make a pick this week?
No.
No?
No.
Ray, you want to make a pick? Ray the engineer, you want to make a pick?
No, he's getting ready for the Golden Knights game.
He's almost done with his Coke Zero.
No, he's never done with his Coke Zero.
I don't follow the NFL.
Yeah, no, we don't care. I was using you as a bit. I'm sorry.
He doesn't know that.
But I will give you $20 to ride along your thing.
All right, baby, let's go. So, that puts us at $300 right now. $300 total.
What? Give that to charity.
Yeah, Chuck, from the mob. It is charity. For
yes,
us coming back.
For the casino. Right. We'll be back after this, and you will get some of those Caleb numbers your way next. Spiegel and Holmes on the Score.